Welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. John, how are you?
I'm all right.
And hello, Devin. How are you, Devin?
I'm here.
Devin, you're here. Devin's alive.
I'm alive. I have cough drops. Devin, I'm ready to do this.
He can breathe. He can hear. He has life and health and wholeness to him again. And this time, this week, this podcast might actually sound somewhat normal. So, Devin, yes, we missed you badly.
I missed you too.
Aww.
All
this
right.
This is really special.
Let's get into it.
We're having a special moment here. Well, let's kick it off. Let's talk about the Jazz. On the heels of maybe their biggest win of the year. I don't know. It was last night their biggest win of the year.
Yeah, I don't know what it was like in person, but it was amazing to watch on TV the level that they were able to stay at. There was never a point where I felt like, oh, this is where they lose it. It was like, okay, it was surprising they were competitive in the first quarter, and it just kept going. And that means that now they have won three straight, and everything just looks and feels different now.
It's interesting, the first comment you made. It felt like they were in control. And I looked at the score in the fourth quarter. Well, was it the fourth quarter or was the third quarter when it was tied up? Right around 66, I think. Was that?
End of the third.
And even when it was tied at 66, I honestly felt like the Jazz were in control. It was their pace. The game last night was sitting in the Jazz's pace and falling, you know, right there where their comfort zone was. So I don't know that I ever had a doubt. I thought if LeBron wanted to do anything, he would want to try and distance himself in the third quarter, because I felt like coming off a back-to-back, Cleveland didn't want to have a dogfight in the fourth quarter.
You know, and I thought Cleveland really had a chance when they kind of made that little mini run at the end of the third and tied it up. And they had struggled so much shooting on the night. I kind of thought, oh, here we go. This is the same old story we've seen. You know, and you wondered who was going to come through in the clutch in the fourth quarter for the Jazz. And for me, I was pleasantly surprised that Lyles, you know, our brawler, Lyles, stepped up the way that he did.
Yeah, he goes in there at the fourth, and it was him and Neto and Ingles and Mac and Favors, if I remember right. So Mac and Neto were both out there at the same time, and then you had Ingles and Favors, and so they were kind of playing into the small ball that Cleveland spent most of the night doing. But Lyles was just inspirational. I mean, Lyles got booed when he was drafted. I didn't want to boo him, but I was kind of disappointed. And summer league, I wasn't that inspired, but he has shown so many flashes here and there that it's just so encouraging. And for him to just step up and be the man to just get 10 points in the fourth quarter, and probably would have had more if Channing Frye hadn't done what he did.
What did you think about that?
It's a luxury. Well, they called a regular foul, and that would have been it. But then Channing Frye retaliated. And so when you watch it, you're not really sure if he did it on purpose or not.
Right.
But I didn't think Lyles should have been ejected. I thought that was the wrong call.
Well, I thought because
he did it and there was a foul, and then that should have been it. But then Frye had to escalate it, and Lyles isn't going to back down. So what do they expect?
Well,
and I just don't like how they felt like they had to throw both of them out.
Well, you know,
Frye was the worst offender.
You know why they threw out Lyles, don't you? It had nothing to do with the confrontation.
Yeah, they decided to throw him out in hindsight because of the elbow.
Well, yeah, they called the foul on Frye, but when they looked at the replay, I wouldn't have called it a flagrant two. I would have called it a flagrant one because it was an intentional elbow. Lyles took a nut job shot. He did. It was a legitimate throw the elbow. and clear some space and use the opponent's nuts if I have to. It was legitimate. So I would have called flagrant one. Don't know that I would have called flagrant two. And I could see the league rescinding that and dropping it to a flagrant one. I haven't heard them do so yet, but I could see them doing so.
But I'm with John. And this was brought up on the broadcast. I watched it live. I was at the game last night, and then I came home after work today, and I watched the fourth quarter. They brought this up, and like you said, John, he got called for a regular foul. If Fry just moseys down to the other end of the court and goes, okay, well, we got the offensive foul, that's the end of it.
Right.
But for them to go back and escalate it to a flagrant two, give me a break.
Well, and it's funny that they wanted to give Fry a technical for the headbutt. I actually, in my personal opinion, I think he should have been thrown. You know, second technical for him is an ejection. I thought the automatic ejection should have come off of the punch thrown, not off of the headbutt. Because after he headbutt, he threw a punch at Lyles. He didn't connect, but he threw a punch.
Yep.
So
I just really like that we have a rookie there with an NBA vet on a contender, fourth quarter, nationally televised game, and he doesn't back down at all. You know, he didn't really instigate either. You know, you come up and you hit me in the head. You know, you want to bump heads with me, fine. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to get myself tossed. You know what I mean? He didn't do anything in my book to warrant an ejection.
So here's some thoughts. Yeah. Here's some thoughts last night, John. I want your thoughts on what I'm about to present. Looking back at the box score last night. So, you know, the Jazz were in control. That game was in their, you know, in their pace. But I was looking back at the box score. LeBron James was the only one that shot well from all areas of the floor last night for the Cavaliers. He was 33% from downtown at 2-for-6, which is respectable. And he was 10 of 20 from the field overall, which is very good. You know, he had 23 points and 12 rebounds. Granted, only 3 assists and 3 turnovers, but he was a plus 6 and the only one, might I add, that was a plus, you know, over a plus 2 in that game for Cleveland. Another case of, and I looked in the fourth quarter, you could see Irving. Guys that were taking shots didn't have their legs. Was that the back-to-back? I mean, you look at Sunday, Irving played 37 minutes. LeBron played 35. You come to last night, you knew that was going to catch up to him.
Well, Irving felt like he was forcing the issue a lot. I mean, he was 7 of 23. And, I mean, the Jazz played well on him. But you can't say it was all Jazz defense. Some of it was Irving just rushing. And
I agree.
Taking it on himself and trying to take over the game and do hero ball, and it just wasn't working.
Well, and his fourth quarter shots that he took, you could tell were short. All of them were short. And again, I'll go on fatigue on the second night of a back-to-back after 37 minutes. He just, you're right with the hero ball, because he did. He took a lot of shots, but later in the fourth quarter, you could see his legs were shot.
But you have to remember, the Jazz played Sunday night too.
They did.
You know, The Cavaliers weren't the only team on the second night of a back-to-back. So I guess I just don't buy into the whole that much fatigue. We're talking about world-class athletes, 37 minutes. Alan, I've seen you play 37 minutes of basketball and still have something left in the tank.
Touche.
And the thing is, I mean, you got to emphasize the health of each roster. The only guy the Cavs were missing was Mo Williams. And we're missing Gordon Hayward, Alec Burks, and Dante Exum. I mean, the Cavs should have been able to walk into Salt Lake City and win that game.
Absolutely.
And my favorite stat now is LeBron hasn't won in Salt Lake City since 2010.
Wow. That said, he's had great games against the Jazz, even in losses. But yeah, that's a great stat.
So I got to ask, we had this great game, a great win for the Jazz. Who does your game ball go to? Because there are a few guys that you could make the case for.
Oh, that one. Overall, I'd probably give it to Hood. He stepped up on the scoring end. He had 28 points. He was plus 11. There were other guys who were key. when they had, I mean, when they had Mac, Gobert, and Hood, as long as those three guys were on the floor, everything was really clicking. Rudy had some really cool dunks there in the first quarter. Mac had 10 assists. I mean, who's the last Jazz player to get 10 assists in a game before Mac came along?
Well, and here's the point. I will agree with you. Hood played lights out last night. But looking at the stats, I give the game ball to Mac. Because you're right. He had 10 assists. Oh, by the way, that's his second or third double assist game, or double-digit assist game in the last four games, I think he's played, something like that. He's had two games with 10 assists. But what I think is even the better stat, and this is why I give the game ball to Mac, he had 17 points, 10 assists, and he was three rebounds shy of a triple-double. He had seven rebounds. Oh, by the way, all seven of those on the defensive glass. Mac has stepped up and has come alive for three games in a row. Jazz happened to be in the midst of a three-game win streak. Mac, I think Mac deserves a lot of credit for what he's been doing for the Jazz right now. A lot.
Yeah, when we were at the Atlanta game, I was so annoyed with what Mac was doing. He was 2 of 13.
Yeah.
And I came away from that game going, well, they can mess around with Mac and they'll just let him go at the end of the year. But since then, he's shown himself to be a steal. For a future second, we get him. And now, I mean, I would say now that it's going to be a priority for the Jazz to see if they can get anything for Trey Burke to get him off the roster so that they can go forward with Exum and Mac and probably Neto. But even then, they might find another third string quarter point guard to have Neto compete with. But I mean, Mac has just been a revelation. It's been really cool to watch him the last few games.
And he's shooting the ball well. Nobody expected that coming
in.
Yeah,
and he's supposed to not be a good shooter, and his shooting's coming around.
Well, like you said, that Atlanta game you and I were at, 2 of 13. Everybody started, you know, at the game, we were sitting next to people. They're like, you know what, Max, sit down. Let's bring in Trey Burke. I mean, and it was starting to look like, you know, the scouting report on Mac, he can't hit a jump shot. Well, that's true. But three games in a row where he's come on fire and, you know, he's hitting from downtown. He was 3 for 5 last night. You know, he's shot lights out from downtown for three straight games. So you're, like you said, he's a steal.
You know, it's funny that you brought up his lack of shooting because we were at the game last night and, my buddy Sean, one of our listeners, we were talking, and we were talking about Neto. And you remember all the talk about how, when he was coming in to the Jazz, and they were saying, oh, he's not a good shooter. Have you noticed that Neto seems to be one of our best spot-up shooters from behind the arc?
Yeah.
Did you see his step back last night?
Yeah. It seemed like everyone was hitting shots last night. Except for CJ. But Neto, let's see. Neto was 3 of 4. Lyles was 5 of 8. Mac was 7 of 14. There are only three guys who were under 50%. And that was CJ, Ingles, and then Favors was 7 of 15.
Now, how much of that is the Jazz and how much of that is the fact that Cleveland, since the departure of David Blatt, Cleveland, I don't believe, is a very good defensive team. I believe they're second in offensive efficiency under Lou, but I believe that they've given up a lot on the defensive side of the ball.
That's a good point. They're seventh defense overall total, but I'm going to compare before and after Blatt left, because Blatt was 30 and 11. Lou is 17 and 8. Is not near as good a percentage. He's got to figure some more things out. Let's see. So 25 games ago. By all means, fill the time while I'm doing this.
That's okay, because I'm looking up something as well. Trying to bring up Shelvin Mack's stats for the last three or four games and see what he's since that Atlanta game.
Oh, you guys can crunch the numbers. I just look at the heart. Jazz were 100% heart last night. That's top in the league.
Top, yeah. No one can beat 100% heart.
Not at all.
Let's see. Spurs are 95% heart. Warriors 92. Breaking down the heart.
Let's
all right. I've got it. So, Cleveland defense as of Lou. 5, 7, 9, 10, 11. They are 11th defense. They're third in offense and 11th defense. So that is sliding. Because if I take that away and just go regular season, Cleveland is 8th overall defense. They were 4th in offense and 8th in defense. So since Lou took over, it looks like their offense is a little better, but their defense is a few notches worse.
All right, here you go. Max stats for the last 3 games. He is, in 33 minutes per game. He's shooting 54%, 62% from downtown, taking 5 a game. 7 assists and 5 rebounds per game, and almost all 5 of those coming on the defensive glass. There you go. And 19 points a game. There you go. Shelvin Mack in the starting role for the last 3 games.
I'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's compare this, because you said, is this the best win that the Jazz have had this season? And I had this discussion last night. The only other game that really came up in our minds was the overtime win. I believe it was an overtime win.
Against?
At Dallas.
At Dallas, yeah. That was a big game.
Because that's on the road, and that's against a team that you are competing for a playoff spot with.
Yeah.
Which game is bigger? Is it the one against the conference opponent, or is it the one that you win against the best team in the East without your best player?
What if I degrade that conference opponent now?
On national television.
Yeah, well, and what if I degrade that conference opponent now in such a way to say that win isn't quite as big now because they're probably not going to make the playoffs regardless?
Or that win could be huge because it could very easily come down to Dallas ending the season with one more loss than Utah.
Oh, good point. It's a good point. So maybe that is a bigger win for that reason. Yeah.
Maybe this is something we have to revisit after the season is over.
As to what the biggest game is.
As to was Cleveland the biggest game, or does that win in Dallas end up being the biggest game, the biggest victory for the Jazz?
All right, so let's transition. We've talked last night's game. We've talked Shelvin Mack. I think we've even included in there the Jazz are 4-4 since our last show. We didn't bring that up, but they are 4-4 in their last 8. They've won 3 in a row. But we talked Trey Lyles. Okay, so Gordon Hayward, plantar fasciitis. It's not a real pleasant injury. He was out last night. The one thing I'm going to bring up here, and then I'm going to turn it to you here, John, is the good part is he didn't play last night. We have 2 nights off before Phoenix comes to town Thursday, and I almost think the Jazz could probably get away with not playing him Thursday night.
Yeah, I get the feeling that if it's up to them, they'll let Gordon rest Thursday as well and hope he comes back Saturday. With that type of injury, who knows? He could miss a couple weeks. I've heard from people who said that it's a very painful injury and it could take a while. You just never really know. And so I think they'll monitor that closely. I think he probably will sit out Thursday, and they'll just hope that he's able to rejoin the team for their upcoming 5-game road trip.
Now, this is an injury that we've seen within the Jazz team recently. I believe Rodney Hood and Derek Favors have both suffered from this same injury over the past couple seasons, have they not?
Yeah, that's why Rodney missed most of his games was for this last year.
And I don't completely understand all of it, but plantar fasciitis, I think that the first name kind of gives it away. It's a tough injury when you're a guy who likes to plant and pivot and move a lot. I mean, which is most basketball players, but some do it more than others, like Rodney Hood, like Derek Favors, like, you know, in this case, Gordon Hayward does, you know, uses his movement in the paint a lot. This is the kind of injury that hurts.
I will say this. I got an email this morning, and ooh, this is just adding insult to injury. It was from Groupon. And they have plantar fasciitis therapy wraps for $9.99.
Oh.
So, Gordon, wow, if you are listening.
We know you're listening, Gordon. You always listen to our show. We
that,
know.
That is quite a savings because they are regularly about $37. So, message me on Twitter. I will send you the email.
We definitely know. Gordon does listen. So, Gordon, message Devin. Just message him. He's got the Groupon for you.
So let's look ahead. We've got the Suns on Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So without
Gordon, they should win that.
Okay. What
without
do we have
Gordon,
after that?
They should still win. Then it's a 5-game road trip. Then it's at Chicago, at Milwaukee, at Houston, at Oklahoma City, and at Minnesota.
So let's just look at Chicago. I don't know the situation there because I have completely been slacking on looking at the games ahead. Is Jimmy Butler still out? Because I remember he was out. He came back for like a game or two, and then he was out again.
I'm pretty sure he's still out. Let me go to their team page. They're in the 8th seed right now. They are fighting for a playoff spot. Butler looks like he's back.
Okay, so having Hayward back would be huge there. If Butler's out, I feel like that kind of would even that out for the two teams.
Not to mention, I'm sure Chicago wants payback on that game.
Yeah, Butler came back for the Toronto game, which they won. He played 34 minutes, had 13 points. So, and that's after missing what looks like 15 to the last 17, something like that. So they're glad he's back and just in time to save their season. So that's not going to be that easy. Now they have a bunch of other injuries. Let's see. Derrick Rose is questionable. Joakim Noah's out for the year. Pau Gasol looks like he's doubtful against the Wizards. Cameron Bairstow, whoever that. So they've got, they're like barely healthy themselves.
So really, this could end up being a Hood versus Butler matchup instead of a Butler versus Hayward.
Oh, that could be fun.
But the advantage here, I think, the Jazz should really have the advantage when it comes to big men. Because
don't have Noah. Who's their big guys now?
Pau Gasol, and then you're starting Taj Gibson still starting there, I think.
I don't think he's starting. I believe he's off the bench.
Oh, no, wait. Did they start bringing him back off the bench?
He started most of the year, but he's come off the bench for 18 games. Actually, if I go back to the box score, the last game, that'll tell us.
What's his name? There's their big man that can shoot from downtown. Lights out.
European guy, isn't he?
Yes.
Mirotić? I've heard that he's having a bad year, though. That he's actually kind of had a letdown year. Mm. Okay, so they're starting Taj Gibson at center, along with Pau Gasol, who was actually out. So Mirotić started, and then they had Butler and Etuan Moore started. Oh my gosh! I can't believe they won that game. Listen to the starting lineup. Okay, so they started, holy crap. They started Jimmy Butler, Mirotić, Taj Gibson, Justin Holiday, and Etuan Moore. Wasn't Justin Holiday traded and waived at the trade deadline?
Yes, but they...
I swear he was part of this Miami dump or something.
Well, I don't remember because they ended up sending Heinrich away, so I thought they would have kept Holiday.
If I remember right, Holiday... Was he even on the Bulls this whole time?
Was he?
I don't even know. I swear Justin Holiday was traded and waived somewhere in the trade deadline.
I don't remember.
But anyway, now he's starting for the Bulls. It looks like the reason they even won that game is because Doug McDermott went off for 29 points.
Who'd they play?
The Raptors.
Ooh.
That was a really good win for them.
Yeah, with Maj Paj of a lineup. Yeah, no doubt.
So the Toronto game, you had Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan combined for 60 points, and they still lost.
Ouch. And then Doug McDermott goes off for Chicago for 29.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So even without Hayward, I would still say that is a winnable game for the Jazz.
Okay, so yep. Let me do this. So we'll go over that five-game road trip, okay? I suspect even without Hayward, I'm going to call Phoenix a win. Devin, you in agreement?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Okay, so we go on the road at Chicago. Win?
Yes.
Win.
Okay, at Milwaukee, win?
Should be.
Back-to-back, though. Back-to-back.
Is it?
That's a Sunday game.
Yeah, so. But they don't have to travel too far. Chicago to Milwaukee is not that brutal of a trip,
right,
really.
Right, right. And I just made the argument 20 minutes ago saying that these are elite athletes. And so really, I think
Devin, why are you bringing it up then?
Milwaukee will have had 2 days rest. They have been playing better as of late. They won the last three in a row.
Oh, and Jabari Parker's played really well of late, too.
Yeah, Jabari Parker's played well. They're having Greek Freak play at the point guard position again, and he's been doing well there. Michael Carter Williams is out with injury. OJ Mayo is out for the year. I think that's everyone else.
Expect that to be a close game. If there's no Hayward, I can see the Jazz losing that one, but it's not going to be by a lot if they do. I expect that to be a pretty close matchup.
I mean, the Bucks, they're playing better as of late, but they're in the bottom 10 in offense and defense. Monroe is just not a good defensive player at all, and they've had to do some creative things with John Henson to help with their defense. And if I remember right, Henson is questionable for their next game.
So again, I ask, yes or no to that game?
I don't know.
Devin? I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Just because we're looking at the Jazz have won three in a row right now as it stands. So two more wins. That's a five-game winning streak. I have a hard time seeing them getting to six on the road on a back-to-back.
Okay. I'm going to go back to that in a second. So I got a no from Devin and a yes from John. Okay. I like this a little bit. Okay. At Houston, yes or no?
Alan, why are we doing next week's show?
Oh, is that not till Wednesday? Because we brought up the five-game roadie. All right, we'll stop there. We'll go through Milwaukee then. We'll go through Milwaukee. So the reason why I bring that up, though, is because I feel like that Milwaukee game is kind of a fulcrum point of that trip, because if they lose that game, then they go at Houston and at Oklahoma City, and that could end up being a two-game losing streak. And then to salvage that trip, they'd have to win at Minnesota, and that could get ugly. So that's why I'm looking at that. And we can talk about it next week, but that Milwaukee game might be a critical moment where the Jazz need that win before going to Houston.
Or it might be a game that they lose and it helps them regain their focus, and then they go beat the Rockets and the Thunder.
All right, Mr. Positive Pants. Okay.
They will have two games between the Bucks and the Rockets. So, you know, I expect them to lose that Thunder game, but that, because that's the second game of the back-to-back as well.
Right.
I think they'll go 3-2 overall on that road trip. I'm just not exactly sure which team is going to give them that second loss. I think they'll lose at Thunder, but not sure who that other loss will be with. And if that happens, they will have gone 4-2. So at the end of that 5-game road trip, then they're home against LA, which I think they'll win. And at that point, they'll be a 500 team. And they'll only have
Golden State on the last day of the month.
Eight more games to go.
Or second to last day of the month.
Yeah. And you figure they'll probably get three more losses in there with Warriors, Clippers, and Spurs. Although those are all home games, so who knows?
Right. Yep.
I mean, when I was looking at this earlier, I said the Jazz were going to end 41-41, and that is still going to be good enough to make the playoffs, because I just see Dallas ending somewhere around 39-43. Tough schedule, their final month.
Right. Yeah, it is. So, okay. All right. Well, that's how the Jazz are sitting right now. That's where we're stopping at. I had one more topic in the Jazz, but I think let's move on. We can cover this topic later. Let's jump into other NBA notes. Does John have any tank watches coming along?
Well, I've been thinking of doing a draft watch, not necessarily a tank watch, because I still feel like it's more likely than not the Jazz make the playoffs. But because of the way the East is, if they make the playoffs, that's still going to give them a 15th seed, 15th draft pick. And you can get some decent guys at 15. There's some decent guys available at 15. Now, this last year, it was Kelly Oubre, and I still think he shows a lot of promise. He hasn't been playing that much at Washington. Or is he with Washington, or did they trade him? I think he was traded to Washington.
Yeah, he's with Washington.
I think he was traded to Washington. Yeah. Yeah, Washington had the 19th pick, and they traded up to get him. So I still think he's going to be a good player. And there were some decent players who were still on the board when he was taken. You go back to 2014, 15th pick was Adrian Payne, and so far he has been a disappointment. But you look at right after that was Yusuf Nurkic, who's been great for Denver. And at this point, Rodney Hood was still on the board.
Yeah, so how many other teams are shooting themselves in the foot for passing on Rodney Hood? I'm just saying.
Well, Memphis has got to be killing themselves more than anybody else.
Absolutely.
Because they had the 22 pick, and they still passed on Rodney Hood to draft Jordan Adams.
And did you see
all-timer?
Did you see, I think Locke had tweeted out or retweeted somebody else saying this, but the Jazz can thank Richard Jefferson. This was in game last night. Can thank Richard Jefferson for that pick. They got Rodney Hood. Because that was the year that
because he was part of the Golden State pick.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Beadrins and Rush were the Golden State pick, and look what we got out of it. Rodney Hood.
Worth it.
Absolutely.
Who knows what that other pick's gonna be, but on that alone it will have been worth it.
Absolutely.
The 15th pick the year before that, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or how do you say his name?
Oh, the Greek freak.
They spelled it wrong on the thing I'm looking at. They spelled it completely differently.
I think it's Antetokounmpo, right? Did I say that right? Antetokounmpo, I think.
Probably, but I'm looking at it at a wrong spelling, so I couldn't really tell you. But yeah, Greek Freak was 15 that year.
It's not a bad pick at 15.
And Rudy Gobert, of course, was available, and he went 27.
So that's the draft. So, I mean, okay, who's on your tank watch as far as not the Jazz, but other teams that might be on tank watch right now that should start thinking about that? Should Dallas really just hang it up and go on tank watch?
I think Rick Carlisle is too good of a coach. He'll still try to do whatever they can, but I am guessing right now that they go on a 5-game losing streak. And at that point, then yeah, they'll just start looking at Tank Watch, because I mean they're two games ahead of Utah right now, but you know, in five games I believe that they'll be under Utah, and I don't see any way for them to recover from that. If you look at the West right now, Lakers are going to do their usual thing, and if they win, great. If not, great. They are right now, they have the second worst record in the NBA. I think that's where they're going to end the season, and therefore odds are very good that they keep that pick. They would need two teams to jump them. So I would think the Lakers have to feel pretty good. Although last year, the number two seed was New York and they fell to number four. So who knows?
Well, if I remember correctly, Phoenix is right there with LA. So that's going to be a kind of a battle to see who ends up with the worst record in the West.
Yeah. Phoenix actually won their last game. But Phoenix is projecting to be the third worst team. And I think that will stay true. After that, you got Minnesota, and Minnesota is one of those teams that has a bunch of talent, but just aren't winning anything. I really hope that they let Sam Mitchell go and get a good coach, and I could see that team getting good really quickly. And they've had a lot of injuries, too.
They've also had a Flip Saunders cloud hanging over them, too.
Yeah, that whole thing just kind of doomed their season. After that's New Orleans. This has just been an awful year for them. They have had almost as many injuries as the Jazz. But Alvin Gentry has shown that he still can't coach defense at all. They need a much better cast around Anthony Davis. And this has been a very surprising loss season for them. Next would be Sacramento, and they've lost 9 of the last 10. They're in free fall. DeMarcus Cousins got suspended for yelling at George Karl. You know, when we saw him play, you know, DeMarcus gets his stats, but they just can't win with him, and he doesn't have that much talent around him. I mean, they are the team that are just the opposite of efficiency. I heard Locke talking up Rudy Gay. It's like, hey, Rudy Gay might make an interesting offseason acquisition.
Right.
But there's got to be a reason that every team is better once he leaves.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it?
I mean, I just look at that and it's like, no matter what his numbers are, he's not very efficient, and every team is just better off when he leaves. I think that means something.
Well, they've got some...
And then...
what is it? Some young talent on it. Isn't that... Cauley Stein on that team too?
Yeah.
I mean,
now if the Kings can manage to win five more games for the rest of the year, they're 25-40 now. So if they can win five of their last 12, which actually looks like a tall order now, it'll be the first time in DMC's career that he's had 30 wins in a season. It'll be the first time in his career. But now they've lost 9 of the last 10. It looks like they still might not be able to do that. Isn't that amazing? I thought for sure that this was going to be the year that he won 30 games, and that still looks like it's in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, they lose the pick if they're outside of the top 9, I want to say. Let me pull up their page real quick. Sacramento.
It's their last year in Sleep Train Arena, too. Maybe a change in scenery and getting that name out of there will do them some good. I don't know.
Nope.
top 10 protected. So Sacramento is top 10 protected, and I think they are going to still lose enough games that they'll stay in the, you know, in the worst 10. After that's Denver. Denver looked really bad for a long time, but they've actually, they're 5 of their last 10. Malone's system is slowly paying off. They seem like they're ready to just convert a couple of those pieces into real talents and then take off. That second round pick they got, Jokic.
Yeah.
He's been amazing for them. And so between Jokic and Nurkic, those are some scary centers.
And their sound.
Sorry,
go ahead.
No, finish.
I was going to say, they're sound defensively too. Very sound.
Yeah. I mean, that is a team where it looks like if Denver could start saying, all right, let's offer Fareed and Chandler and a pick or two and see if we can't get a scoring four in here, you know, like a DeMarcus Cousins or a Kevin Love or something, just make some crazy offers and they would be a really good team. Moutier has had a adventurous rookie season. He's been very ineffective. They're kind of letting him play through his mistakes. So I would expect to see a lot of improvement from him in year two. And, you know, that's your bottom six in the West. Over in the East, Philadelphia, they lost Okafor for the year. They do have their ninth win, so they're not going to break a record for the worst season ever. They need one more win to not tie the record. They'll probably get it in there somewhere. Brooklyn is the second worst team in the East. They don't have their first round pick. They don't really have anything to play for. I guess the only thing they can play for is to try to make Boston's pick a little worse. Third worst is New York. They don't have their first round pick either. You know, they fired Fisher. Rambis isn't doing much better. I heard on one of the national podcasts, I think it was CBS, where Phil Jackson is actually, it sounds like Phil Jackson plans on keeping Kurt Rambis as the coach next year, which
okay,
would be
that's
a gigantic
just funny. that's
but
just
Denver,
funny.
Denver gets New York's pick. So you got to think that Denver has this, Denver's going to have two lottery first round picks. And they're already set at center. They'll probably do something exciting on draft night. That would be my guess.
let's start.
Oh no, it's a swap. Sorry, it's a swap. They can swap picks.
Let's start a meme. Kurt Rambis and Phil Jackson love fest meme.
Actually, Denver has the right to swap picks with New York, but they have the exact same record right now. Oh, and then New York conveys the less favorable pick to Toronto. Wow. I don't know what Toronto did, but they're going to have a good draft, even though they're the second best team in the East.
John went right past my love meme. He just did.
I did. Sorry.
Anyway, and Devin was just kind of looking over here with that stupefied look like, nah. I'm not touching that either.
Definitely not touching the Phil Jackson, Kurt Rambis love fest, Alan.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
We're certainly not putting a picture to that either.
Oh, dear.
Did you read Derek Fisher's My Side of the Story?
No. Did I want to? Not really. Should I have? Probably. Did you read it?
It was, yeah, I read it. I don't believe him for a second.
Wait. You don't believe Derek Fisher?
I know.
I am stunned.
I know. Stop the presses, alert Jimbo Redding. But
mind blown.
It was written by a guy who knows his reputation has been torn to shreds, so he's trying to write this to try to save face and hopefully make himself employable again. I doubt it's gonna work. Because if you are Phil Jackson's guy and you're doing everything Phil Jackson wants and he still feels the need to fire you mid-season,
the cards are stacked against you.
He's burned bridges with a few franchises.
Yeah.
Any other team that wants to talk to Dallas or Utah about Fisher will hear what's what.
Absolutely.
The only place I can see him going for any kind of job would be the Lakers. I'm sure they'd give him something if he came back, but
yeah, probably.
That's about it.
They can't do any worse than Byron Scott, so maybe they give him the job.
No.
That'd be nice if they did.
I mean, sure.
They'll give him the job. They'll give him.
Personally hate D'Angelo Russell.
They'll give him the job, and then they'll turn around and they'll bring in Matt Barnes on a small contract for a year.
Yeah, I hope they do that. That'd be
great. And then they'll put a TV show on E.
instead of the Kardashians, it'll be Fishers and Barnes or Fisher and Barnes, you know, something like that. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of a name. There's a great name somewhere here.
There has to be. Oh. All right. That's your NBA notes and news. Anything else you want to add, fellas? Any other NBA notes and news you can't think of? All right.
That's good.
Let's jump quickly to March Madness. As we speak, Wichita State won. And they are the 11th seed to face Arizona in the first round. You guys are, we talked pre-show. You guys are doing brackets. I'm probably not going to do one, but brackets, you're doing one, each of you.
I will do one. I haven't started it yet.
Okay. Just off the top of your head, both of you rattle off your final four. Devin.
Notre Dame, University of Utah, Weber State, and Michigan State.
And that wraps it up. John,
can you imagine?
I know. No, I can't imagine, but yeah. John, what's your final four?
I'll say I have the right to change this once I actually write it down.
Yes, you do.
I'll say Cal, Oregon, Michigan State, and I'll go with Kentucky.
All right, I'm going to go Kansas, Michigan State. Trying to think. North Carolina, and then I'm forgetting one division. Is Kentucky in any one of those? Is Kentucky in the West?
Yeah, Kentucky's with North Carolina.
See, I don't know if I want to. Yeah, so definitely North Carolina. I don't know if I can pick Kentucky right now, but yeah, I can't pick the other one. I can't think of it. Isn't Oregon in the? You were going to bring this up, but weren't you?
Yeah, Oregon's number one in the West.
That's right.
Bracket.
So yeah,
you want my actual final four?
Yes.
I may change this, but as of tonight, I have Kansas, North Carolina, Michigan State. So, Alan, we agree on three. And then I have Oklahoma.
Ooh.
So that'll probably go bust somewhere around the second day.
John, you and Devin, you guys have the Utes going how far?
Oh, which one are they in?
They're in the one with Michigan State. What is that? The
are they?
Yeah.
Okay. So
they if they make it to the
Fresno,
if they make it to the Sweet 16, I think they'd face Michigan State in the Sweet 16.
Yes, they would.
Yeah,
and that's as far as I have them making.
That's
it.
Where I would put them.
Okay.
I would say that's where they go out.
Well, if you look at it, okay, I like the opportunities here. Supposing Gonzaga could upset their first round, which I could see that happening. The Utes could play the Bulldogs the first round, the Bulldogs the second round, and then they'd get Michigan State in the Sweet 16. Could be interesting. Just a thought.
Sure.
So, Weber State, yeah, I'm sure we all have them losing in the first round, sadly. I'd like to, you know, I mean, locally we'd like to see them go on, but I don't think they get past the first round.
Yeah, they're playing Xavier, who is a two seed. So that would be a huge upset.
Upset Central. No.
I don't see it happening, but you never know. Weber State has some talent. They have a very talented big man in Ballin Boy.
Yeah. I expect him to have a good game in an otherwise otherwise noble defeat of loss to Xavier.
There you go. Anything else you want to address in March Madness? If not, we'll jump right into... You wanted to discuss a couple of new releases, both in movie and Netflix.
Well, House of Cards has started up, so I've started watching season 4. I'm about 4 episodes into it so far, and I think it's going to be better than season 3 was. I was kind of disappointed in season 3, especially with the end. But season 4 has kind of fixed some of the problems that I had with season 3. And I've seen a couple people's reactions who saw the whole season who were really excited by the finale. So,
President Underwood.
Hoping it's returned to form here in season 4.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten past season 1, sadly, because I've quit binge watching. So, but he is president now, correct? Underwood is president.
Yeah. Yeah. The first 2 seasons are really good. And it's the end of season 2 where he finally becomes president. And then so season 3 is all about how he handles things once he's president.
Which
and
I.
And yeah. Season 4 is now he's running for re-election.
Why would you do that to me?
Do what?
I just started it.
Dude, if you can't read the writing on the wall in the first season that he makes it to president, I mean, I could guess that he would be president without even hearing.
I could guess too, but I wouldn't have made that prediction about when it was going to happen.
How far into season 1 are you?
I'm like 3 or 4 episodes in.
All right, you got a ways to go still. Yeah, I can't. I know. I think I'm a little over halfway, but wow. I haven't picked it up in a while.
See, I just started the Netflix club. We talked about this a few weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
And I have not done any real binge watching. It's been a movie here, a few shows there, until Friday. Friday, I actually binge watched Netflix for the first time, and I see why people enjoy that so much.
Yeah.
Daredevil Netflix coming out. Chill. Daredevil coming out in the next couple weeks too.
Yes, I've not watched any of the publicity for it or anything. I want to just go in cold.
Yep.
And just experience the Punisher for the first time that way. All I've seen is publicity steals of the Punisher, but I'm looking forward to that.
As am I.
The actor's been up and down for me, but I've heard that this is like his best work yet, so I'm excited to see what they do.
I have my reservations about the suit because I didn't like the final finish and the final episode of season 1 the way the suit looked, but I've had a few people tell me that design-wise that should improve in season 2, I hope. I didn't like the way the suit was designed.
Okay.
Sad that I'm picking that apart, but yeah.
I'm glad that he just finally got a suit.
Yeah, I can agree with that, yes. All right, let's jump to movies. You saw 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yes.
And your thoughts?
It was really good. J.J. Abrams... I hope this is a regular thing he does where he just makes movies in secret and has no publicity and no, you know, leaked scenes and stuff, that you just have a movie that just suddenly shows up and says, hey, we're here, by the way, and we're going to open in about 6 weeks and we're not really going to give you any details on it. The first Cloverfield did that. And it was really exciting. In fact, the first time there was a Cloverfield trailer, they didn't even give the title of the movie. They did this weird trailer and you didn't know what was going on. And then right before it opened, you were given a couple hints, but you had to actually go see the movie before you really knew what it was about. And even if the movie itself is kind of disappointing and didn't age well, this movie I think is better. It's not really related to the first movie, but by using Cloverfield in the title, it lets the audience know this is kind of the same thing we're doing, where we've just made the secret movie and we don't really want you to know much about it. Just come in with an open mind and just take the journey.
This is the John Goodman
and
movie, right?
I did that and I really liked it. Yeah. Yeah. The trailer I thought was perfect because it kind of gives you a feel, but you're still not exactly sure what it is. And the movie's like that too. I mean, once you've seen the movie, the trailer makes sense. But the movie just kind of, it just starts with the girl and it's from her point of view and you just follow her and you're experiencing things as she does. So she doesn't know what's going on. You don't either. And it has a lot of good tension in it and it builds nicely. And I thought the climax worked great. Part of me wishes it didn't have Cloverfield in the title because it makes you think that it might be a sequel. It really isn't. It's kind of its own thing. But if they keep on making movies like this and just put Cloverfield in the title somewhere, just so you have an idea of this, the we're doing these kind of cool movies that we're not really going to tell you anything about, then fine. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with it. I saw the trailer. It piqued my interest. But like you suggested, it didn't tell me much. And I had to go out online and search up what it had to do with because I was lost when I saw the trailer. I want to see it. Like I said, my interest is piqued. But I was like, what in the heck is this about? So they obviously did a very good job at really, like you said, keeping it secretive.
Yeah, my wife is like, should I see the first one before we go see this? And from what I could tell, it wasn't really a sequel. Mike, you don't really have to. I mean,
right.
Okay, the first movie is about this giant alien creature that's smashing up some buildings. And that's really pretty much all you need to know. I don't even remember how the first one ended. But so here's this other movie that they filmed the same way. And, you know, I hope J.J. Abrams does this like every 3 years, just puts out another Cloverfield movie, even if none of them are connected. He just does this type of style.
All right. So folks, go see 10 Cloverfield Lane, right? Did I get the title 10 right?
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yep. Go see it. So, all right. Well, let's wrap this baby up. Put a bow on it and call it good because we've had a lot to talk about tonight. Anything further you want to pop in there, Devin?
I just want to say it's so good to be back, guys. I've missed you so much, all of you listeners.
Oh, you know what we forgot to do tonight?
Yeah, we were off last week because we just couldn't get our schedules together. And then when we finally looked like we had a night where we could do it, my internet went out and I wound up having to go buy a new router. And so now that's... Finally, we got one out at the right time. And
yeah. Well, and Devin, we didn't get a chance to talk this week either. We had a listener reach out to you that wanted to cover a topic this week, and we didn't really get to it. Maybe we'll have to save it for next week's show.
Yeah, yeah. We had a question about some point guard talk.
So
let's put that on next week's agenda.
Yep.
Okay.
And kind of go from there. It's one of those things where I personally am going to have to do some research to give an accurate response.
Well,
because the answer is not Steph Curry.
And I'll tell you what prompted the entire discussion, John, and this is something we'll look at next week, was a chat that Ben Dowsett had on B-Ball Insiders about point guards and about the drafting class of point guards that included Dante Exum and Marcus Smart. So we had a listener, Riley, reach out to Devin and ask his opinion on it. And so, yeah, I think next week we need to have a discussion about this on all of our opinions on the subject. So
why would you do that again?
Do what again?
Your spoilers.
I didn't give a spoiler. All I did was give a nugget.
That's a hefty size snack.
I'm just saying.
All I did was tell you everything we're going to talk about next week.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I didn't. All right, you two, knock it off. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up. And
I was gonna have Lost Taco Mender come on. I'll have to get him next week.
See, speaking of spoilers,
sorry about that.
We're gonna have Lost Taco Vendor on next week. Now you guys aren't gonna jump on John about Lost Taco Vendor spoiler. You'll jump on me about the spoiler, but not John. Go figure.
Well, John's a good guy.
You figured it out.
All right, thanks for joining us, folks, and we'll look for you next week. You can find us on Facebook, Jedi and Germs, Twitter, Jedi and Germs. You can find each of us individually on Twitter at JediZog, at GermsGuy, and at TornByDevin. And, of course, on Stitcher and iTunes by the same name, Jedi and Germs. So drop us a line. Continue to send us feedback. And we love to you know, open discussion into things like this. So drop us a line anytime. Thanks for listening. We'll look for you next week. John take us out.
Bye, everybody.